statewide ban on curbside waste pickup of television sets, computer monitors, and other electronic waste went into effect at the beginning of this year. It's part of what's known as the Covered Device Recycling Act. E-waste must now be taken to an approved recycling drop-off location. Implementation was supposed to be fairly straightforward for the public, but if you've tried to recycle a television in the last few months, you may have found it difficult. Here to talk about the progress of Pennsylvania's Covered Device Recycling Act and what it takes to recycle e-waste is Dave Mazza. He's Regional Director of the Pennsylvania Resources Council. Also on the program is Ned Eldridge, President and CEO of E-Loop. That's a Pittsburgh-based electronics recycling center that operates a collection system throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good to be here.
I should say that we also extended an invitation to the state's Department of Environmental Protection, which enforces this law, to join us for this segment, but they declined our offer. Dave, I read that the average lifespan of a computer has decreased from 6 years to two as new features keep coming out, making previous models obsolete. Can you quantify how much e-waste is out there and how it's growing?
Well, EPA estimates are that over 400 million electronic devices are sold each year. So, you know, that's a lot of material coming into the consumer stream. And, you know, every time you buy something new, you've got to get rid of something old. So everyone who has a cell phone or an iPad or a computer or a television set, for that matter, knows the technology has advanced tremendously in the last 5 years. And pretty much if your device is more than a couple of years old, it tends to be outdated.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Shfetta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. If you have a comment or question, you can share it with us by calling 412-246-2002. Once again, that's 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation live at #EPLive. Ned, let me ask you a question. How does E-Loop fit into the Covered Device Recycling Act?
E-Loop started in 2008 in a response to what I felt was a insufficient amount of capacity in the state of Pennsylvania to handle electronic devices. You got to remember there's really two markets here. There's a corporate market that we serve in the western Pennsylvania area, and then a residential market that came about as a result of the Covered Device Recycling Act. So when we started this business, we envisioned that Pennsylvania would follow suit with a number of other states in the United States that had already set up state bans on electronics from landfills.
You're taking us through this chronologically. 2010 came around, Pennsylvania passed its law, and this was the year that the curbside pickup ban went into place. What's happened since then, Dave Mazza?
Well, basically you've covered that the law was signed into effect in November of 2010. It gave a period of time for manufacturers and for the e-waste recyclers to prepare for this ban and for this influx of material. So January of 2013, the landfill ban kicked in, which means that the devices that are identified in the legislation, and that tends to be things like computers, laptops, television sets, monitors, and some peripheral devices, are no longer allowed to be sent to a landfill. They have to be handled through an approved e-waste recycler, and the materials have to be reclaimed. So what has happened this year is that because it's the first year of the ban and because a lot of people are buying new electronics every day, the market has become kind of flooded with this material. In the first 6 months of the year, there was probably a triple or quadruple increase in the amount of e-waste coming into drop-offs and various e-waste recyclers. PRC held their first hard-to-recycle event of the year back in April. And we collected 73,000 pounds of e-waste in 4 hours, along with the folks from E-Loop, who are our partners in these collections.
Big increase
events.
Over the past?
Yes, definitely. Double what most of our events. Wow. I mean, we typically are in the 35,000 to 40,000 pound range per event. So we got just about double the amount. And of that 75,000 pounds, probably 80% or better were television sets. So the difference between, I mean, you have to understand when you're looking at these electronic devices, there is a difference in the value and the reclaimable materials. So, you know, things like laptops and CPUs and cell phones, there are some relatively valuable resources in those, including some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum, plastics, other circuitry. With the television sets, while the lead and the glass do have a value, that value is much less than some of the other electronic equipment. And so, again, you know, there are cost economic differences there in the processing and proper recycling of these materials.
I understand that the way the DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection, handled this law since it went into effect was maybe different than you expected or hoped.
Well, I think it was different than anybody expected, maybe except for DEP. Maybe they knew what was going on ahead of time. But, you know, basically the legislation said that the manufacturers of this of these covered electronics devices would be responsible to provide funding or some type of a system to recover an amount equal to the weight of the material that they were selling new. So for every new television set, the weight of that television set had to be recycled in old e-waste or covered devices. I think it was everyone's understanding that that was supposed to be a one-to-one deal starting in January of 2013. So for every pound, there would be a pound of material that was offset and recycled, and the cost of that was going to be covered by the manufacturers. What happened was there was a little bit of renegotiation going on between the state and these manufacturers, and they decided to phase this in over a period of years. So instead of 100% the first year, the manufacturers were only responsible for 35%. So what happened was we got 100% of the material into the waste stream, but only 35% of it, of the cost of handling it, was covered by the manufacturers, which left this huge gap. So with the other, some of the other covered devices, the laptops and the CPUs and some of the other materials that had either resale value or had commodity value, they were able to, the recyclers were able to handle those. But with the television sets, being the economics the way they are, they were not able to handle the cost of having these television sets properly handled. Some of them became very quickly overwhelmed, and that's when you saw folks like Goodwill, who had been accepting television sets, back off mid-year and say, we can no longer accept these television sets.
And I know some of them are ending up getting tossed over hillsides and the like, and even though these are covered devices, they're not protected. I mean, some of these really harmful materials can get out into waterways and the ground.
Yes. You know, the average television set, a 19-inch television set, can contain anywhere from 6 to 8 pounds of powdered lead. That's what's inside the picture tubes. So when you start looking at the larger ones, you know, some of the rear projection TVs or 27 or up television, you're looking at literally lots of pounds of this powdered lead and other material that, you know, again, can potentially cause some problems. So, yes, there we've seen an increase in illegal dumping of these. We've also seen an increase in, you know, the consumers are kind of panicking a little bit, where they're not able to find the convenient disposal options that they were promised as part of this legislation.
Ned, tell me how your organization works and why it is that a collection just can't be had.
Well, I think, you know, one thing I'll mention is that I've been working with the PRC since 2008, and we've run a number of great events together in collecting electronics. There's a couple issues, though, that probably need to be clarified. First of all, the DEP is in charge of the interpretation of the law. And anytime you're involved in a situation with something that new, there's going to be unintended consequences that fall out of it. And I think in our first year, that's what we're running into. If you look at the way states have phased these programs in over time, Pennsylvania being the 25th state to have similar legislation, that they get phased in usually over a 3-year period of time. So I think as a recycler and having knowledge of the industry, the expectation that they were only going to reach 35 to 40% of the total weight in year two was probably expected. I think what really caused the conflict was that they enacted the landfill ban in the same year they still had restrictions on the amount of material that was flowing. Had they waited a year when the number of pounds expected to be collected would have been much greater and had the landfill been at that time, then the manufacturers would have been prepared to pay for that weight as they go. So I agree. They did get a little bit of a hall pass for this year, but I believe next year that will be corrected in the amount of weight that's distributed. Now, the second issue brought up was why do some people still have the capacity to collect televisions where other companies do not. One thing you have to remember is to represent a manufacturer, you have to have specific credentials. And in our industry, it's a certified industry. We have to be ISO 14001 certified, and we either have to have a BAN
E-Stewart. I'm sorry, what does that mean?
An ISO 14001 certification will basically show as a credential for eLoop that we have a very viable environmental management system on the way we operate our business. The BAN standard, BAN E-Stewart standard, or the responsible recycling standard are two certifications that we have that are specific to our industry, which basically says we don't export material to developing countries. We don't throw anything in a landfill, and we have a what you would call a fully vetted chain of custody for every piece of material that we handle.
Is this similar to the Basel Action Network standards?
Yeah, the Basel Action Network, correct. Okay. That is considered banned, B-A-N.
I see. Mm-hmm. Because there was a big snafu that probably everyone or a lot of people remember several years ago here in Pittsburgh when people who gave e-waste to charities found out that the donations were ending up in Hong Kong and South Africa.
Correct.
And perhaps being broken down by children or under questionable labor conditions.
Yeah, I guess the best way to look at that is they were using 16th century recycling techniques in the current day in developing countries, which meant there was tremendous exposure to toxins.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Schvede-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. If you have a comment or question, what might you do with your television, you might be wondering, call us at 412-246-2002. Again, that's 412-246-2002. To join the conversation, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter, the handle is ESSPGH, and the conversation's live at #EPLive. Dave, I wonder if you could respond to some of the things Ned was saying. Are you optimistic that in the future some of these wrinkles will get ironed out?
Oh, I definitely agree with Ned 100% that these are kind of growing pains in the first year of the landfill ban has taken effect. It was just kind of the perfect storm. You've got the first year of the ban. You've got more consumers buying new television sets than at any other point in history, basically. And you've got this shortfall of opportunities for them to recycle these things properly. So I think next year, what people have to understand is that all of these numbers reset come January 1st. So manufacturers will once again be providing that support. The systems, the infrastructure will continue to build. They will work out these issues and things will eventually smooth out. And you will find more and more opportunities to conveniently recycle these materials. So,
I see you have a flyer in front of you with your convenient opportunities. Do you want to mention those?
Sure. Well, as you know, PRC has been holding a whole series of collection events for over a decade now. We do pharmaceuticals, we do household hazardous waste, and we do what we refer to as our hard-to-recycle events, which cover things like e-waste. So we do actually have an event coming up on October 5th in conjunction with eLoop. And we'll be at the Mall at Robinson parking lot from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Saturday, October 5th. And we will be taking television sets there as well as pretty much every other electronic device people have in their homes they can bring to us.
I believe we have a caller who wants to know how he can recycle his television. And I don't think we got to the idea that there isn't a constant pickup anywhere, right? There is. Oh, there is.
I would suggest if people went out and looked at our website at eLoopLLC.com, You'll see that we have over 45 locations around the state of Pennsylvania where you can drop off e-waste during their normal operating hours. In Pittsburgh, we offer that service at Construction Junction. Most people in the city know where that is, and that's been a convenient pickup. I think the combination of the permanent sites and the events ends up complementing the city pretty well.
Right. And then, again, you know, Construction Junction is one location. Some of the big box retailers are also taking television sets for recycling. So if you're going to buy a new TV, I would ask the retailer if they have that service available to you where they can actually handle your old television set for you. Come to our collection event on October 5th. Go to Construction Junction. And again, just kind of you can go to our website or to eLoop's website to see other options.
Right. We also have eCycle Recycle located on Route 19 in Wexford. So we have several sites that are open during regular hours.
I think Neil might like to – I'm sorry. No. We're going to go back to our questions. Is there anything we can do about what you're describing, the DEP changing up the law perhaps as individuals?
Well, I think it's probably too late in the game to do anything about it this year. I mean, that will change again. You know, this is a gradual phase in. So next year, that number will rise from 35% to, I believe, 65%. And by the third year, there'll be full implementation. And again, as both Ned and I have stated, you know, that's going to smooth out the process here over the couple of years. I mean, I keep comparing this to, you know, if you have a kitchen sink and your drain is a certain size and you're pouring water into that sink. If the drain can only handle so much water, and if you're putting more water in than the drain can handle, at some point that sink is going to overflow. And that's where we're at right now. The sink is overflowing. So what we have to do is just cut down on the amount of water we're putting into the sink, let the drain catch up with the flow of water, and then things will again flow very smoothly. So, you know, we're telling people not to panic.
Jerry is on from O'Hara Township.
Question. I'm going to be moving, and over the period of years, I've collected several VCRs, DVD and CD players, stereo amps. Can they be put into regular trash, or do they have to be specially handled also?
Ned?
Anytime you're looking at an electronic device like those, I would recognize that they should be recycled. But when you look at the way the covered devices are listed through the state of Pennsylvania, they are not covered. So you, in turn, could throw those in the trash.
Just concerned whether they would actually pick them up or not. Okay,
I believe they would.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Jerry. Ned, we just have a moment or so now. What kinds of things can people bring? Can people drop their phones off at eLoop?
Yes. We have a rather long list of items that we'll accept. Anything with a cord on it is a good place to start. If you really look at trying to provide a full recycling service for those kind of items across the state, I think you would see that we do a pretty good job of taking those items. Basically, we're recovering plastic, metal, and glass from these units that we can put back into industry. So bring it all down.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. And our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. We've been talking about e-waste. You can find more information at WESA.FM. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up, we'll get a fall arts preview from City Paper arts and entertainment editor Bill O'Driscoll. And speaking of fall, the season will officially be here Sunday. With the chill in the air, it's time to put something warm in our stomachs. Post-Gazette restaurant critic Melissa McCart fills us in on what could be the next fall food trends. That's coming up on Essential Pittsburgh.